Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome to the KP Podcast. We're coming to you here from the Forum. I'm Pete, sitting here with Keith. Keith, how's everything been going lately?
Oh, man. I think I threw out my back playing softball last night. It was it was tough.
That's, you sound like an old man.
Yeah. You know what? You know, I'm almost 30, and the back's going on me.
That's so, not a good sign.
We talked about it last night. We were saying we need to get one of those copper fits for the whole body.
Like onesies. A copper fit onesie.
So copper fit, if you're watching the podcast today, we'd really like that product, specifically a whole body suit.
Well, I don't know how much of our audience can relate to your softball or old man body issues, but we do have a topic today that everyone can relate to.
Yes.
Affects everyone. Everyone uses every single day, and that's money.
Yeah. And I think the big part of this topic, which we're excited about, is it's not in the main media. You would have to dig and look to find more stuff about this. Mm-hmm. But the signs are there. There are signals screaming at us, but we just really don't know what to make of it, right? And so we're hearing a lot of smart people and a lot of very high up intellectual people, both in the economy and in our government, hint towards something that we should all be aware of.
Yeah, not only that, but we've got a couple of quotes in here from the government and the Fed themselves talking about this very issue. You're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth. So let's dive in, right? So we are talking about money, and specifically, we'll go into the definition and where we're going, but the potential central bank digital currency.
So we're going to reference it as CBDC, probably regularly, but central bank digital currency. That's a really long sentence there for a new type of money, if you will.
Yep. So let's start with real briefly and just talk about the current system of money, the U.S. dollar, and what that looks like. So everybody's, you know, understands that in the United States here, we've got the U.S. dollar. And up until 1971, it was backed by gold. And so what we meant by that is up until 1971, anyone who had dollars could technically, even though it really didn't happen, but technically you could go turn your dollars in and ask for that exchange in gold. It was backed by gold. And then in 1971, Richard Nixon took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard. And ever since then, so today what we all use is a debt-backed system. And so what do we mean by that? It's our dollar in our government, our money is not backed by gold anymore. It's, you know, technically a lot of people say it's backed by nothing.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pete. So
it's really backed by nothing.
What are we protecting our dollar from? Huh?
It's backed by nothing, but really what it is
IOUs.
IOUs. It's a debt. It's a debt-based system, and so our dollar is backed, as they say, by the full faith and confidence of the U.S. government. And what it is U.S. It's a government debt, and so U.S. treasuries and government debt is what backs the dollar, meaning the government creates this debt and issues those dollars, and everybody has faith that the U.S. government's always going to pay their debt. So that's why they say it's based on the faith of the U.S. government holding that. But it's debt based. So, like, that's what it is. The U.S. government issues debt, and that creates money.
So it's legitimately like Dumb and Dumber right now, like a briefcase of IOUs.
Yeah,
it's exactly legitimately what it is.
Yeah, don't worry about it, guys. We're good for it. Yeah. We're good for it.
We're good for it. This is a big one. You might want to hang on to that one, huh? Like, it's a full on 250K there. That was a car.
That's a big one.
That's crazy to think that legitimately you can reference that movie and understand our money system.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah. Okay. So.
So. As you could imagine, this has led to a lot of problems.
Really? No duh. Really? Like, that's trusting our government to pay the debt to help reinforce our dollar.
Put the IOUs in and go, don't worry, guys. We're good for it.
We're gonna pay it back.
We're good.
Okay. So.
So anyways, it's caused a lot of problems, like we said, including the current situation that we're in.
Massive inflation,
you know, big, huge deficits, massive amounts of debt, both, you know, for the government and private sector, because, again, we're in a debt-based system. And so you know, to basically boil it down to the simplest form, when we create debt, whether it's the government issuing new debt, or let's talk about our industry. Anytime somebody goes and gets a new mortgage, they're not getting money that they took from, you know, your checking account that the bank took then and lent out. A lot of people still think that's the way it goes. It doesn't. That money didn't exist before.
Yep.
And so now, you know, they just create it into existence. They issue new debt and new money is created. The government and the banking system create that money. And so, yeah that's led to, like you said, the huge inflation we've got
It. There's a reason why you only make 0.0001% interest in your savings account. It's not used the same way as it once was in the past, right? This is not your father's type of system anymore.
So let's talk about that for, I'll go sidetrack real quick, but that's a good point because most people think about that and they go, why are they paying me nothing? You know, the interest rates are higher. The fact of the matter is the bank doesn't want your money. Like literally they don't want it.
They're honestly charging you to keep your money
there
because they don't want it.
Yeah, like the government, you know, in order for them to function, like they have to, you know, have your checking accounts. And so they're kind of forced to take it. But when you wonder like, why do they charge all these fees or why are they paying me nothing? Because it's like, they're trying to discourage you. Like they literally don't want your money.
Put it in a suitcase under your bed, please. Like don't give it to us.
Like they don't need it. Wow. Like it used to be like, hey, we've got deposits and we can lend out a certain amount. Now they basically have unlimited funds because they're backed by the Fed and they can issue loans and it's created out of nothing. So your money's kind of a hindrance to them. It costs them, like they're like, what are we going to do with this? Like we don't need it.
I think we see in the media a lot, and it really helps us reference it gives us a perception of what the world is. So It's a Wonderful Life, one of the best Christmas movies of all time. That was like 90 years ago.
Right. That was in 1930s or whatever.
So when you think about this, right? The Bailey's savings and loan, right? Yeah. He's sitting there right in the edge of the Great Depression, right on the tip, and he's begging for people to leave the money in. Mm-hmm. So like in a weird way, our pop culture almost creates this mindset of like the bank wants our money in there. Like they're thinking that. Like he's desperate to keep the dollars in there because he's using the dollars he has to loan it out to someone
else. And at that point, that was true.
100%
true. At that point in time, that's how the system worked.
But yet we as consumers still somehow think that that's still in existence to today. Like,
and it's
90
not.
years ago, guys. Like this is not a little amount.
And that's a good point. And I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think most people realize that's not how it works anymore.
But I honestly think that if you ask somebody, just on the street, they might even think, but like, I give my money so they can give it to other people.
Right.
That's literally the way we think.
Yeah,
it hasn't been that way since the 70s.
Yeah, and actually, they officially abolished any semblance of that system. I can't remember. It's within the last 10 years or so. Yeah. They finally even got rid of all the last rules. So now it's like clear as day. Like that's not how the system works anymore.
Welcome to inflation.
So, so
that brings us to CBDC, right, Pete? So how is this different? What is CBDC? What is this?
Yeah. So the central bank digital currency is CBDC, right? And so that's what, you know, people are calling it at this point. That's even what the Fed has referenced because it doesn't exist yet, but it's coming. And so the first thing people say is, well, what is it and how is this different from what we have now? Because when you say central bank digital currency, a lot of times people say, well, don't we already have digital money?
Credit card.
I can move, transfer. I can make electronic payments online. I pay my bills. Yeah. I already have digital money.
Yeah.
We don't. We do not have digital money. True digital money is what you see with cryptocurrencies. Mm. Think Bitcoin. Everybody has heard of Bitcoin, knows what Bitcoin is. That is a digital currency. So the difference between, say, a Bitcoin and what we're doing right now is the bank has to still keep records. So, you know, when we're talking about they don't want your money, well, Keith, if you have to pay, like if you're paying a bill, right, and let's say you're paying your electric bill and you hit an electronic payment, well, all you've done online is create, you know, this record that you're going to send this money over there from your bank account to pay them in their account, the electric company. The bank still has to now, in behind the scenes, still actually transfer some kind of money to that bank. That other bank has to acknowledge that they've received it. And all of those things, if we think about the old manual process, it's literally like you could be mailing them a check or mailing them dollars. That's what's still happening on the back end.
It's just quicker.
It's just quicker on the front end for us to do it electronically. And people think, oh, it's digital. No, they still have to do this old manual process on the back end. That's why you see things like that. You know, we hold a check for a week or whatever it is, or your funds don't clear for 3 days, because all that process is still happening. Yep. And so It's not a true digital. Whereas with a digital currency, that digital representation is the money. There's nothing else happening. I send my Bitcoin to you. Those ones and zeros instantly transfer, and within minutes, it's in your wallet, and that's it. There's nothing else happening.
With a direct chain of events.
Correct.
That is completely tracked and managed.
Right. So there's no money anywhere. There's no one doing anything behind the scenes. There's nothing. It's just that. It's
there's
just
no
digital.
Cash. Like, you can't there's pull no out cash. Paper, right. Disposable. Like, you burn a dollar bill, that dollar bill's gone forever, mm-hmm. right, in this sense. You can't burn a Bitcoin. Like, it doesn't exist. Like, you can't do it.
So let's take it a step further here, okay? So what we've talked about is the digital currency, like we said, is like Bitcoin versus, you know, dollars and money that we have now, which, yeah, we have electronic records, but it's still the old system of dollars and money. So now that they're seeing, then the government's seeing what's happening with cryptocurrencies, what's happening with Bitcoin, they're going, hey, this might be something that the government wants to look into, and the central bank digital currency would be the Fed's own, for lack of a better term, version of Bitcoin. It's their own
Fed
crypto.
Coin.
It's their Fed coin. That's what some. That's the other thing people call
Fed
it.
Fed coin.
Fed coin. It would be their own cryptocurrency,
yep.
basically. And so let's look at, you know, some of this stuff where people are saying, oh, that's not going to happen. It's like, well, let's look at what happened. So earlier this year, the Fed finished, they had a four-month survey period where they were gathering data to go, should we do this? Could we do this? What would it look like? At the end of that, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said that the U.S. Central Bank plans to recommend to Congress how to advance a potential central bank digital currency.
How to advance? Like, they're literally saying, we're recommending how we can do this.
He's
like,
we're saying
it's a go.
That's exactly it. The Federal Reserve Chairman is saying, we're going to recommend to Congress that we move forward with
this.
So
the place we print money out mm-hmm. randomly for no reason has now said, I think we need to head this route. It's mm-hmm. pretty much what's saying.
Yep. I mean, look, here's a direct quote from Powell as well. Quote, a U.S. CBDC could potentially help maintain the dollar's international standing, end quote. So you guys wow. are hearing right from his mouth saying, we're going to recommend this to Congress, that they move forward with this. We think it could help maintain the dollar standing, because what do we see with the dollar right now? We're in this debt-based system with massive inflation and massive amounts of debt. The value of the dollar over the last, you know, 90 years, let's use that reference, since, you know, the Fed's been around, has decreased over 90%. I mean, yeah. you guys look at it, right? Just think about very simple terms. What did it cost to buy a house in 1950? What did it cost to buy a car in 1950? Definitely not $1 million. So it's like the value is just continually be decreased. Yeah. So you say, how do we maintain the dollars? How do we maintain our status as reserve currency and maintain the U.S. dollar's supremacy, our power basically worldwide? Well, if the dollar keeps faltering, we might have to go to something else, this digital dollar or this mm-hmm. digital currency, right? And so if we look at it, we go, okay, well, how would this CBDC work? What is it like? And think about what we were just saying before. With the old system, you pay the bill and the banks still have to do their stuff on the back end. Well, with a CBDC, it bypasses the banks. Mm-hmm. So you know who doesn't want this?
The banks.
Chase, Citibank, Wells Fargo. They understand what they're talking about this.
And all yeah. the things that they have to normally
There would
do.
Be no reason for them to exist. And so they're completely against this, because this would completely bypass banks. It would be completely controlled by the Fed and or the government. So you would have, you know, they're talking about setting up what it would be like a Fed wallet or a Treasury wallet. All of us would have basically an account with the Fed. We'd have an online digital wallet with the Fed.
Like a bank account directly to the government.
Directly to the government. They could put money right in there. They could pull money right out.
Whoa, hold on. You're saying they could just funnel money right into our accounts?
Funnel money right into the accounts. And maybe this, Keith.
Maybe on a reoccurring basis?
Maybe like on a reoccurring basis.
Week.
And maybe they want to give more to you than they want to give to me.
Why would they ever want to do that?
They would have absolute control
wow.
of all the money and all the resources. This would be basically, they could do programmable digital money.
Mm.
Okay, so look at what the Fed's trying to do now. They're trying to fight inflation. They're trying to stimulate the economy. You know, a year ago when they're sending out stimulus, they're trying to do these things and they're saying, you know, we can't exactly get it right. But think about this. If a central bank digital currency existed, they could say, you know what? We need to stimulate, say, small restaurants. So we're going to put money in everybody's wallet, but the only place you can spend it is at independent local restaurants, and you've got to spend it by next week or it goes away.
So like Fed coupons.
Whatever you want to call it.
That's
so the man. Point being, big they brother. Would have exactly
big brother. Like big brother. 1980s didn't know, you know, Orwell did not expect Big Brother to look like right. this.
That's exactly it. They would have complete control. Complete control. They can give how much money they want to which person. Maybe Keith, they don't like, you know, what you're posting on your social media, so they go, you know what? Keith's driving a big old car that's burning, it's emitting a lot of emissions. That's bad for the environment. I don't like what he's posting on social media. Keith, if you want a mortgage, your rate's going to be 2% higher than mine, because Pete's over here driving an electric vehicle, and that's what we want to encourage. So he's going to get a discount on his mortgage.
So anybody pissing off the government on Twitter, you know,
could be
a big Donald Trump. Maybe he's not getting
this
any money.
this is the thing people are talking about. Like, you know, there's no way at that point they would control it all. They would control everything.
So you're at the mercy of the system.
And so, guys, and this is what we're talking about. Like, I'm giving you quotes from the Federal Reserve Chairman. They're telling you, we're going to recommend this to Congress. They're saying, look, this will help us maintain our standing. Just last week, I think it was, they announced they're going to have what's called the FedNow system. And they're going to have it live by July of 2023. Okay? So what that is, it's not central bank digital currency yet, but it is the system that it would run on. They're already building and rolling out, like we said, this Fed wallet, this direct payment system to go right now. If you want to transfer Bitcoin, you have, you know, a crypto wallet. I have Bitcoin in my crypto wallet. I transfer it to your crypto wallet and that goes over to you. Well, FedNow, that's the system for theirs, and it's going to be live July of 2023. And this is what they say about it. This is what it's going to be used for. Quote, it could be used for distribution of disaster, emergency, or other government-to-consumer payments, end quote. So they're saying we're originally, the part that wasn't a quote, they're originally going to start paying their contractors, making payments inside the government. But look at that quote. Here's what we can do with it, guys. We can send disaster money, emergency money, or other government-to-consumer payments directly to people.
So you're telling me that they're shielding what's going on with this pretty item of, we could send money when people need it. It's a donation.
What do you think could possibly happen there? Where could they go with this?
I don't know. When you donate something every single week for abiding by the rules, I don't know. Like, you start to see some massive government control. I mean, and it's right in our faces. Like, they're telling it to us. We're just turning a blind eye because the media doesn't point it out.
They're telling you that this could be the way for them. Next time there's a crisis, if you want your stimulus money, Keith, we need you to sign up for your Fed wallet, because we're going to send it right to you. Maybe that's the way to roll out this universal basic income that people are talking about.
It could be, but it's way beyond that. It's, hey, you need to take this vaccine or do this, or you need to do that in order to get your payment this week. It can be whatever you need it to be. No matter what side of like the COVID vaccine you were on, or no matter what side, you know, anything, it's just the thought process of do this equals this.
Right.
That is a government control that we haven't seen in the U.S. ever.
Right.
And it's never existed.
And again, if you think we're going too far to this, I would point out, anyone can Google, go on YouTube and Google up Neil Kashkari. So Neil Kashkari's comments on central bank digital currency. Who's Neil Kashkari? Neil Kashkari is the Minneapolis Fed president. So here's someone who's in the Federal Reserve where they are discussing this. He was giving a talk at a university. I can't remember which university off the top of my head. And somebody was filming it, and they asked them about the central bank digital currency. And you can see his entire response. It made the way all over social media. Like we said, it's out there. Look it up. But basically, he said exactly what we're talking about. He goes, look, if the government gets, or the Fed gets, this central bank digital currency, they would have complete control over the entire monetary system, all the resources in the country, and everything that you do. They know exactly when you do something, how much you spend, where you spend it on, where you go, and they would be able to control whether or not you're allowed to buy certain things, spend money at certain places, everything. And he goes so far to say, why would the American people want this? He understands
no privacy whatsoever.
He understands the danger.
Yeah.
He's like, they will have complete control. And this is a guy in the system.
He sees it firsthand.
He's seeing the discussions happening firsthand. He goes, why would the American people want this? The answer is you wouldn't. You're giving up complete control over anything. You have no privacy and no say. Once they control all the money and all the resources, you will do whatever they tell you to do, or you can't buy food.
So, Pete, help me out, because this surely has to be something we have to vote on, right?
Absolutely not.
What? Hold on. Wait, this isn't a policy? Like, we're seeing the pointless healthcare policies that we're talking about, mm-hmm. or we're voting on for different, you know, state regulations and certain things in the front office? No, this is unvotable? This nope. is not a... We can't say, hey, say no to CDBC. Like, there's not those signs on the street corners?
Yeah, I mean, look, did the government let people vote when they took the dollar off gold? No. Every time they issue all this debt and all this money? Nope. But Congress has the power to do this. And this is why the Fed's saying, we're going to recommend it to Congress. This is how we go.
So these are some of the biggest components going inside our country, which the American people have no say in.
Mm-hmm.
And it affects them the most,
yep.
the American people. So be aware of this, guys. And I think so. The reason we're bringing this up is not necessarily to scare people or make people worried about it. It's just to bring it to light,
awareness
to show you that this stuff is being said. It is happening, whether we like it or not. So the question is, okay, being smart with our money, with our finances, and with our lives, what are some ways that we can help defend ourselves from, you know, potential outbreaks of this, or, you know, just understanding it better and just, you know, leveraging our resources against each other.
Right. Yeah. And it's always good. I mean, we talk about hard assets here, owning real estate and stuff like that, but obviously a lot of that stuff is still inside the monetary system.
Yeah.
And so it's always good, you know, in my opinion, I always keep a portion of, you know, my net worth and my liquidity outside the monetary system. And so what do we mean by that? We mean things like precious metals, gold and silver, Bitcoin. These are things that are not inside our monetary system. And so,
yeah.
you know, what we mean is if I've got cash in the bank, that's in the monetary system. You know, even if we own real estate, well, if we sell it,
it's halfway through. You could sell it to maybe potentially you'd be able to sell it for gold or sell it for Bitcoin.
Yeah, you potentially could do something like that. If you sell it for cash though, you know, or whatever, you know, you're back in the system. And so it's always good to maintain a little bit more control. And you don't want to go, you know, crazy with this stuff, but it's just like, it's like what we saw during the pandemic. Did it not make sense to have a little, you know, extra food and supplies at the house just in case, because you don't know what's happening? It's the same thing. Keep some of that outside the system. Keep some gold, keep some silver, keep some Bitcoin, because then you've got some stuff outside the system and it's just there as a safety net that you should always probably have a little bit.
So I think I have one last final question, because for the person listening right now that's like, man, this seems intense. This seems like a lot. Is it all just, you know, hearsay, if you will? Like, are there other states or governments or are there other countries doing this? Like, if U.S. couldn't be the first one, like, we have to see signs coming from elsewhere. So, Pete, from what we've talked about, there's a lot of people doing this right now.
Absolutely.
This is in existence. This isn't like we're the front runners and we're going to be the first ones, right?
Yep. No, in fact, we've got people inside our government going, we need to catch up.
Wow.
So you already have a couple of smaller countries, you know, that do it. China's a big one, but they're also communist. And so—
Well, that's a big flag there,
that's
Pete.
A big flag.
I mean, I don't know. Bankers.
So here's what you've got now. You know, you've got certain countries like obviously China's doing it. You've got some countries down in the Caribbean, small islands that already have it. You have, I believe it's the Netherlands that is rolling theirs out as we speak. But look at the dates that some of these other countries have put. England, the United Kingdom, says they will have theirs by next year.
Wow.
They want to be the front runners. And so you've got now all of these European countries, Canada, Mexico, Australia, have all already come out and say, we're working on it. We're trying to get there. And a lot of these countries are trying to say, we're trying to be one of the front runners in this. We want to have it first. So again, it's not just inside the United States. In fact, these other countries have already gone way past what the U.S. government has already said. They've already said, we're doing this, and here's our timeline. Countries like Australia, the U.K., Canada, they're saying, we will have this live and running within the next year, 2 years, whatever their timelines are.
Unbelievable. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate everybody listening to pretty much the potential death of the U.S. dollar as we're looking at this.
Well, so, the changing to another one, right?
And I think that's the biggest thing to keep in mind, guys, is there is change happening. keep your eyes open, continue to view what's going on. Don't just hide behind the scenes of the media and a lot of the other stuff out there. Get educated, understand what's happening, and then just be better prepared for yourself, your family, and generations ahead. Again, appreciate everybody listening and tuning in, and we will see you guys in a couple weeks. Thanks,
see you guys.